We're now 80 blocks from Tiffany.
Track for the DJ. DJ Mark is eating, baby.
Yeah, I understand what's going to happen right here,
exclusive man. Camp Lowe.
Do you even realize what this is, man?
We're going to take it back to the PX one time.
This is 80 blocks from Tiffany, man. It's that new real hip-hop right here, man.
Smoke infection down there, baby.
Caviar, Panamanian, piggybacking my bumper. Penelope Porsche pulling the purple royal rubber. Regal flannel, eagle with the handle. Mysterious mustard, Mustang, land mammal. Clicking channels in a custom chopper, hazy hopper. Liquid lasers let off, then it's lazy lobster. Grand Prix to be my cinematic syndicate. Can't be sending y'all for centuries searching for how we killing it.
What's your recipe, wrestler? Do my progress have the berry? Send it, yeah, cause you're lying raw, it's bogus, and I bet ya. Your bottom dollar that I'm no comic when come to collar. Popping, pop life, impression, pesky imposters. That make you wanna marry, make you wanna kiss on that magic wand, smoke the cabbage patch, kill a rabbit tilt, my apostrophe, black mink, Mac hat. If you're old, dirty baby, introduce the mad hat.
Mic check. Check. You are now 8 blocks from Tiffany. Feel the frequency. You getting me?
Mic check.
Testing 1-2, testing 1-2. This is not a test. This is fire. Mic check. You are now 8 blocks from Tiffany. Feel the frequency. Getting my check. Testing 1-2, testing 1-2. This is not a test. This is fire.
Bum, 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 bum. That time blowing back at ya. Mean, got the number hole in my jeans, in the back of the limo. Gene Simmons drool on the neck, cool nap the necklace, crooked letter S, Chiba. Got my humpback eyes, a skydive, and a golden tux, golden kid, gonna run amok on these mother suckers while I'm sipping me a jug, and juggle me some jugs on juggernauts, web sling, I slang talker, praise poison souls to the sky.
You can see my horns in a double Denali. Pitchfork and Fetty be falling from flowers in a foreign body. Glam cams on a Trans Am with holograms. No, you're not hallucinating. That's the roof illuminating. Polo logos on the three-quarter equestrians. We drowning them in winter fresh. Blicky's about to stretch again. Cyclops the chain. Ragtime robots. Ravioli rolling over the wrist in the frigid fire.
Check. You are now 80 blocks from Tiffany. Feel the frequency.
What?
You getting me?
Mic check.
Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. This is not a test. This is fire. Mic check. You are now 80 blocks from Tiffany. Feel the frequency. You getting mic check. Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. This is not a test. This is fireproof.
Ladies and gentlemen, BK, a.k.a. my Thursday sunshine, just walked through the door, and he noticed that Naya is not with me this morning, so he said, did you have to shine twice as bright? Oh my gosh, that just made me smile. Thank you so much, BK. I really looked forward to Thursday mornings just so I could see you. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us here on L3 Radio. As BK is here, I'm going to play a Sunshine theme song because this really is what BK reminds me of, which is the sunshine. Hopefully you have a great day. I know BK's got a lot in store for you on this broadcast. Oh, BK, if we had cameras here, I think the listeners would kind of look at you like, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah, I feel real professional.
But they would just, you know what, never mind. I won't even try to explain. Instead, what I'm going to do is play this song by Bonnie M. called Sunny, just for you, BK, my Thursday morning sunshine.
a bunch of undercover ups. Your child's future was the first to go with bunch of cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place. That's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see is a bunch of what the f. Dude is dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such, and that ain't Jersey Shore. Homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposed to be telling us the truth. Limbo is a racist, Glenn Beck is a racist. Got the strip with getting by Obama, didn't say shit. That's why I ain't vote for next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful, and I believe in the people. Yeah.
It's a lie.
Deserve it. Jihad is not holy war. Wet that in the worship. Murdering is not Islam, and you are not observant. And you are not a Muslim. Israel, don't take my side, cause look how far you push them. Walk with me into the ghetto. This where all the went. Complain about the liquor store, but what you drinking liquor for? Complain about the gloom, but when you pick a broom up, just listen in the pot, ain't gon' make it stop. A rebel in your doubts, ain't gon' make it out. If you don't become an actor, you'll never be a factor. Pills for million side effects, take them when the pain fell. Wash them down with diet soda, killing off your brain cells. Crooked banks around the world, we're glad to give a loan today. So if you ever miss the payment, they can take your own away. That's why I despise it. We scared of almost everything. Afraid to even tell the truth. So scared of what you think of me. I'm scared of even telling you. Sometimes I'm like the only person I feel safe to tell it to. I'm locked inside a cell in me. I know that there's a gel in you. Consider this your belling out. So take a breath and hell a few. My screams is finally getting free. My thoughts
it's
is finally yelling down.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 24th day of March 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on a Thursday. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. BJ. I do host Mondays and Thursdays, and hopefully you did enjoy listening to Ms. Natasha Von Castle here, bravely soldiering on without her partner in crime, Nyla, and playing you some sweet, sweet soul and beaming twice as bright. She beaming like Lupe, and like Lupe said, you can't take back words you never said, so bringing it full circle to the opening track of today's show. Hopefully you folks enjoyed that. His album's moving about 250,000 units, proving that even in a commercial hip-hop culture, in a culture globally where we're saturated by commercial interest and by commercial desires, there is still a desire out there to feel somebody spitting the real and spitting the raw on songs like Words I Never Said. And so it's good to know that our instincts are still out there here, 11 years deep into the 21st century, to actually look for the truth and to feel a cathartic sense of anger. And I got to tell you something. It's because there's a giant new age kind of neuro-linguistic psyop going on out there, which we should all be aware of. And it's not necessarily entirely a bad thing. It's just how you manage it. For example, you got to say you got to be thankful. Thankful for things in life, right? You got to be thankful for everything you have, and you always got to be thankful. And it's true. It's good. It's empowering. It's something that we can all use to be thankful for. And we say, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for my family, my friends, thankful for my money, for my lifestyle, and so on and so forth. But if all you do is look to be thankful, then it's entirely possible that bits and pieces of your lifestyle and your living standards could be taken away from you, and all you learn to do is to be thankful for what you have. So are you thankful for paying, you know, 10% more for everything than you did last year because of the global recession? Are you thankful for the opportunity to choose between Jack Layton, Michael Ignatieff, or Stephen Harper for Prime Minister, or that your fellow Canadians will be doing the same and we're likely going to get screwed no matter who we choose because the entire political structure here in Canada, like others worldwide, has been made less accountable? Are you thankful for the fact that Calgary got their fluoride out of the water? But should you or would you be more thankful if more people in Toronto went, really? Why? Why did their city council decide that? Why isn't our city council here in Toronto reviewing what Calgary City Council came up with to make that type of decision to stop using taxpayer money to purchase and add fluoride separately to Calgary's water supply? You know, we have an era of globalization. Why doesn't the best information just travel out there? Why the heck is it snowing outside right now? Why is it so damn cold? Why, should we get angry about this and angry about threats of climate change and global warming? 4 years since March of 2007. 4 years ago, almost to this day, I interviewed Professor Tim Ball to expose the hoax of global warming as soon as the UN launched it. And yet now they soldier on with climate change, and we've got snow a week away from April here in Toronto and in other parts of Canada. It's insane. To help break down the next moves in climate change to go after our food and water, though, I'm going to take you to a quick shot at Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com talking about the UN agenda to control the world's water supply, and then we'll get back more into discussing these issues.
There were all the big NGOs and foundations working on this. They have it all along. Zafar Adil, the chair of the United Nations Water, I guess it's one of their agencies, which leads the water-related efforts of 28 UN organizations, says climate change, oh, you know what, climate change stuff, that even though we're cooling and getting more rain and all that, especially with the spraying that's going on in the skies all the time, climate change will affect all societies and ecosystems most profoundly through the medium of water, but there is no other way to generalize the crisis ahead. At unpredictable times, too much water will arrive in some places and too little in others. Well, that's unfair. I mean, that's just not communistic, is it? I mean, it's supposed to be equality and all that, isn't it? Anyway, it says, to prevent these shortages, researchers are scrambling to develop technologies and practices to reduce water's consumption. Canada's water experts, we've got experts for everything, you know. I think we've even got nose-picking ones, too, in Canada. Canada's water experts are well-suited to assist in this effort as they have gained valuable experience from managing 9% of the world's fresh water supplies. Canada has abundant supplies of fresh water in its lakes and rivers, which covers an area roughly the size of Spain, Germany, and Belgium put together. But I'll just add in, it's all radioactive now, eh? We need to brace for what could easily be humanity's greatest short-term challenges, says Margaret Catley Carson. That's another double-barrel name. They do like these double-barrel names. We're after the director of Canadian Water Network. According to Nicholas Parker, chairman of the ClinTech Group, Canada's relatively abundant water supply and will surely be an asset in the future, as precious as oil was in the 20th century. Well, I know something, folks. You know, you see, you're just the cattle on land, and the big corporations are the boys who are going to take the water and sell it at an exorbitant prices and profits to other countries that are a bit dry. That's the big agenda.
Back, folks. And again, that was Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Just a little slice there of what they want to do in terms of going after our food and water supply next. Tons and tons of gotta get money, gotta love money stuff, and they hit us with the recession. Tons and tons of food pouring out there, then they hit us with the food prices. Now here they're coming for our water. That's right, folks. They're coming for our freaking water, everything we need to live. And so what should our response be? Anywhere in the world to attacks like this of an international nature in this system of globalization. For those of you folks out there who don't know, I'm talking about the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, the forces behind globalization, the forces currently bombing Libya right now. And those forces aren't Libya's neighbors like the Arabs or the Africans. They're kind of saying, no, don't bomb Libya. They are American and British and allied NATO forces at the behest of the UN without even U.S. congressional or constitutional approval. They basically started bombing Libya under the auspices of the UN without even enforcing a no-fly zone for very long. Libya's leader, Muammar Gaddafi, is actually being attacked by American al-Qaeda agents. That's right. I'm going to take you to a clip in a second of Alex Jones and Webster Griffin Tarpley breaking this down for you. But I want us to get clear a picture of what we're facing here. Domestically, we're going to be facing shortages of all sorts, and things are just going to get more expensive. It's not like we don't have enough of this stuff on Earth, but they're just making it more expensive for us to buy. And so we have to define that distinction. We're going to see thoughts of austerity budgets right now that currently came out for this election year. The federal budget here in Canada is an example of the Harper government aiming towards winning an election. But at the end of the day, there's going to be several austerity measures in there to satisfy those desires. And so governments that have taxed us for years at over 50% of our income in the aggregate are now telling us the socialist system we worked hard to build and fund are broke and have no money for us anymore. Couple articles here to give an example of that. British government rolls the dice with tough austerity budget. This is from today's Globe and Mail here. No matter how he tried to garnish it with small rewards for the taxpayer and punishments for the banker, how loftily he spoke of a better future, there was no hiding the fact that Britain's Chancellor of the Exchequer was delivering a budget far harsher than almost any other Western nation has seen. What does this tell you, folks? I've often posited through proof that the New World Order emanates out of England. The Queen is on half the money in the world, and there's a reason for that. Back in the day, rulers like Cleopatra and others used to put their face on the money so that throughout their kingdom, even people who never had a chance to see them or hear them, because there was no TV, there was no internet, there was no radios at the time, 2,000 years ago, could know who their ruler was, who was in charge of them. And so the Queen of England, similar fashion, has her face on half the damn money in the world, and she is one of the top titans out of England, along with many others in the City of London, who are architects of this New World Order, with allies worldwide, including in Canada, America, and everywhere else. And then you get rogue nations like Libya, you know, who wouldn't go along with the next plan changes to start World War III, and so what happens? They get bombed by these allied nations. Can you believe that? Yeah, of course you can believe that. You can see it on TV. And so what are we supposed to do about this? I'm going to talk a bit more about this in a minute, but look, 9/11 was an inside job. That much we got to know. The war on terror policies, Al-Qaeda, is a fiction, a creation of U.S. and British intelligence, but Webster Griffin Tarpley on the Alex Jones Show can explain more.
52 terrorists, 4.3 million people. Darna, 51 terrorists, 80,000. It means that Darna, which is right there by the Egyptian border, it's part of the area being defended by the no-fly zone. This is terrorist heaven. This is the number one terrorist recruiting center in the world in proportion to population. You go down the list, Mecca comes in third in Saudi Arabia with 43. That's a much larger city. The number four is Benghazi. Benghazi with 21 terrorists. Benghazi is the capital of this rebel confederacy or coalition that the CIA has put together. So we now have this unbelievable situation where the United Nations and NATO and the United States are all saying a humanitarian emergency, we must intervene to protect the heroes of democracy from the evil dictator Gaddafi. And it turns out that the heroes of democracy are the younger brothers of the suicide bombers who went into Iraq and killed American soldiers and other members of the international coalition as well as Iraqis. And at the same time this is going on, the U.S. is bombing Pakistan. Predator drones are over Pakistan right now, killing people in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda, even as the United States is joining hands with Al-Qaeda and defending them against Gaddafi.
All right, let me stop you, and then I want you to continue, Dr. Tarpley, with your breakdown. But for people that don't understand full-spectrum dominance, for people that don't understand the true strategy here or the stratagem, correct me, or I know I'm not wrong, but elaborate on what I'm about to say. You have a giant global corporate globalist combine that's basically a mafia that's waging war against the nation state, whether it's America, Libya, it doesn't matter, that uses slick propaganda and packaging. They need the multi-trillion dollar a year wars, the multi-trillion dollar a year U.S. defense budget alone. They've got to manufacture threats. And so the average American sees it like, oh, America wants to go beat Al-Qaeda. And then they don't understand, well, then why is Al-Qaeda always funded and working for the globalists? Because that's how they start the wars. That's how they create the pretext. They use this secret army to destabilize any area they want as the pretext to then invade. Look at a chessboard. If they want to invade a certain country on the map, they put the Al-Qaeda piece into that map, and then they can stage it themselves, or their patsies can stage it as a pretext to put in sanctions, no-fly zones, invasions, whatever they want. That's what Al-Qaeda is. So people who look at this like, well, Al-Qaeda doesn't work for us. Well, there is no us. We don't run this country anymore. We're run by the globalists who use us as their overall global engine of modern neocolonialism, and Al-Qaeda is this convenient boogeyman or a pretext to invade or attack or destabilize any country they want to go into, and you can't get around that historical fact that they do work for the New World Order.
Al-Qaeda is essentially a pool of patsies, of fanatics, of fighters, of psychotics, of militants who can be used. The ideology of Al-Qaeda is that all existing Arab and Islamic Muslim governments are illegitimate. None of them represents the caliphate. They say that the caliphate is the form of government that is prescribed by the holy books, and therefore none of them are any good. So with Al-Qaeda, you immediately have a way to attack any existing Arab government. Case in point, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. The Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, their line is, Gaddafi is an apostate. Gaddafi is somebody who might once have been a Muslim, but he's now an apostate. He's a heretic. He's gotten out of his religion. He's turned into a secularist. This Libyan Islamic Fighting Group has transmogrified. They changed themselves into Al-Qaeda of the Islamic Maghreb. And you can look at their website, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. Their website says, down with Gaddafi, down with the dictator, long live the wonderful fighters and heroes of Benghazi and Tobruk and Darna. And don't forget Darna, because Darna is the place. That's terrorist heaven, Al-Qaeda heaven. And this is what the U.S. has allied with now.
But Webster, isn't this this West Point report, the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing?
Well, you know, life is complicated, and it's impossible to control everything. And when you're improvising these crazy operations from one year to the next, the problem with any covert operation is it can't be kept secret over time because you've got to redeploy the assets. In other words, the West Point report says right now in Iraq, this is giving us a hard time, right? Because the Bush-Cheney line was the presence of Al-Qaeda is used to justify a U.S. military attack, right? That would be Zarqawi and the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. But now under Obama, you're not using Al-Qaeda as a way to attack it because it's there. You're saying Al-Qaeda are now redefined as the heroes of democracy, and we're going to bomb the country in order to protect them. So it's
because that's the globalist asset they've got in each country. Isn't this a replay of Kermit Roosevelt and the CIA and British MI6 in 1953 with Mossadegh, who was even pro-Western but wouldn't give everything over to BP, then Anglo-American Oil? And so they use the Muslim extremists to overthrow the government, then they double-cross them and put the puppet Shah in.
Certainly, the Al-Qaeda is a force of obscurantism that opposes modernization, westernization, industrialization, and everything else. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is the mother of Al-Qaeda, was used by the CIA to oppose President Nasser in Egypt. But right now, I think the parallel we ought to think of is, look at Gates, look at the people around Carter and Brzezinski and then Reagan, creating Al-Qaeda and giving them these Stinger missiles and other means. Imagine what happens if this group, this gaggle of terrorists in Benghazi, imagine if they take over the oil revenue of Libya. They're going to have billions and billions of dollars, and the CIA is now arming them. They're smuggling in or shipping in weapons incursion of the Egyptian army.
By the way, that's in the Associated Press. They're not even denying that. And then a month, a year, 2 years later, everyone will forget that the West backed them. Then we'll have to invade again because Al-Qaeda has now taken control of Libya, and no one will even remember this.
It's a very, very cynical policy of power politics. It has nothing to do with democracy or human rights or anything of this sort. But what the finding is, again, from West Point, the document is called Al-Qaeda's Foreign Fighters, published at the Combating Terrorism Center of the Department of Social Sciences, U.S. Military Academy, West Point, New York, December 2007. It's all in there. There's also an article in the Asia Tribune. It's not another publication with a similar name, the Asia Tribune by Daya Gamage, that gives a very useful summary. And again, the finding is that Libya gave more terrorists and suicide bombers to Al-Qaeda for Iraq attacks than any other country in proportion to population. 20 per million. That's more than twice as much as the Saudi Arabian contribution. And this contribution was not spread equally over Libya, but it was overwhelmingly concentrated in northeast Libya, the area of Benghazi, Tobruk, and Darna. And that's exactly the area which is the hotbed of the rebellion. This group that had already rebelled in 1995. You remember the David Shaler affair, when Shaler said he was sitting at MI5, he noticed that MI6, the British equivalent of the CIA, had hired Al-Qaeda to try to kill Gaddafi. Well, that failed, although it did kill some people. But in coordination with that, there was an insurrection in about 1995-96 of these same terrorist characters in northeast Libya, which was then crushed by Gaddafi. So that's the origin of the bad blood.
So we've already had the Al-Qaeda boys trying to overthrow Gaddafi before. But how dare you talk about Al-Qaeda, Webster? These are loving, good people.
I'm afraid that mythology now falls to the ground, and we see that this is simply a group of armed thugs, if I dare say it.
They're really mercenaries.
They're mercenaries, but some of them, of course, are fanatics or psychotics. They generally fit the profile of armed patsies. They think they're doing one thing, they're actually doing something else. Although, the problem with this is you get into this Frankenstein effect. If you create this, suppose they do seize control of Cyrenaica, northeast Libya. Suppose they seize control of the oil revenues and they are armed by the CIA through Egypt.
Now they can destabilize Tunisia to the west, Egypt to the east. They can project power into the Med.
Into the Mediterranean and the Italian island of Lampedusa. Sicily is not far away. Italy is not far away. Neither is Spain, France, Greece, Cyprus, all sorts of European coasts. So this is a piece of insanity. And it's time.
But it's not. The globalists want destabilization, kamikaze states,
right,
as you warned during the election three years ago.
But those of us who want to defend civilization have to condemn this as a piece of strategic lunacy, because it sets you up for a new round of mayhem if these characters succeed. And I think it portrays the role of Gaddafi, I think, in a much different light.
But the reality is everybody in America has known that this is not a sustainable system. We've all avoided it. It's not just the elites, but we've avoided it too. One of the reasons the politics have worked the way they've worked, Alex, is because we've said, give us more money, we don't want to change. And every year we've been able to do that in the governmental mechanism.
Well, that's like a bass biting down on a purple worm. I mean, we're certainly the ignorant fish that's biting into the hook, but I'm talking about where that hook...
We're not ignorant, Alex. I mean, the way you get power over, to solve a problem, you need power. The way you get power is you take responsibility.
I agree.
And the reality is, let's look at the money. Whatever the American government is doing, every one of us is financing it by paying our taxes. Okay?
Yes.
Every one of us is financing it by putting money in pension funds and not having a position on where it goes. Everyone of us is donating money, including tithing to churches who are supporting and going along with all of this. Every one of us is shopping or banking at the banks and the stores that are doing that. Okay? If you look at how our money works, household by household, county by county, we have the power to say, we're not going to finance this anymore. If you, my church, wants you know, my tithe every month, and you've got to change, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it. I'm not just going to pay taxes to a government that's running drugs. I'm going to go get a lawyer, and we're going to battle this out in court, and we're going to organize locally and do a local escrow for tax money, as long as you're running the government on an illegal basis and trains are going out the back door. So, in other words, we're all participating in this, and we're all complicit in it, and it's by seeing that that we see the opportunities to start to really make serious change.
Federal agents, we are armed!
That's right, folks. We are back. Some clips from the Alex Jones Show featuring Webster Tarpley recently and Catherine Austin Fitz from a month or two ago, talking about how we are all complicit. How many people out there know 9/11 was an inside job? How many people don't? Is there a way to make up that difference? That's going to be really key here to stopping the encroaching advancement of the corporate banker-run police state that we see being set up. It's going to be important for us to stop these damn wars over in the Middle East that they keep starting. It's going to be important for us to avoid questions about our country's going bankrupt to pay for the cost of running an empire, which we are benefiting less and less from. I'm going to take you back to the home of the empire here in London, because things happened there first. They got the cameras, we got the cameras. They got the recession, we got the recession. They got the austerity, we're getting the austerity. So the article from the Globe and Mail is, British government rolls the dice with tough austerity budget. And that is today's Globe and Mail. But from cuttingthroughthematrix.com, I got an article from the Daily Express UK. And that article is entitled, UK Begins to Starve, by Lucy Johnston. The desperate plight of children in Britain being forced to rely on food parcels to survive is today revealed by the Sunday Express. Government cutbacks, rising unemployment, and soaring food prices are forcing a growing number of families to miss meals, eat badly, or go hungry. In one heartbreaking case, a 10-year-old boy was arrested for stealing food to feed his two younger sisters. While some children are short of food, far more are severely deprived of essential nutrients because they're relying on cheap junk food. Nutrition expert Philip James said, quote, "The rate of malnutrition is reaching an astonishing rate. Children are being denied fresh foods because families cannot afford to buy them. On their poor diets by early adolescence, these malnourished youngsters will be affected by premature diabetes and early signs of underlying heart disease. The bone health of these youngsters is under threat, and doctors are seeing increased cases of rickets." Rickets is happening right now in the UK thanks to their government's austerity measures due to ostensible debt challenges and the need for budget cuts, despite the fact that they always have money to launch new wars. You know, I saw an estimate that it costs the U.S. government $1 million each for the 121 bombs they shot into Libya. It's $121 million. That could feed a lot of kids, pay off a lot of mortgages. That could fund a lot of socialist programs that, where they should be there or not, are there now. And so we got to fight to make sure they're funded and expose the lies behind the fact that we don't know who owns our national debt. Not enough of us know about the fraud behind the fiat monetary system run by a handful of central banksters. These are things that people need to know. They need answers now. And if you have answers, you really should consider sharing them. You should have some faith in the value of the information that you learn. If you learn about the New World Order and you spend a fair amount of time trying to get those thoughts and ideas and your analysis correct, then what are you doing with it? And if you don't learn, then maybe you should. Because there are some people who can't fight back in this system, in this culture. And we call those people children. And when I play with friends' kids, or I'm around kids, and I love kids, and kids are great, and I notice that there's such an opportunity there for us to gain inspiration from children, entertainment from children, to see them as people that we have to take care of when it comes to dealing with the corruption that threatens every aspect of our society. from UN Agenda 21 confiscating all our property and herding us all into compact cities to be stacked and packed, working in coordination with climate change to lower our energy usage, to lower our living standards, and to return us to a global neo-communist feudalism, or a neo-communist feudalism, except this time a global one. So I got to tell you, we got to find some ways to get inspired out there, because if we don't, then we're just going to learn what's happening, and we're going to learn to accept it, and that is an issue. And all of us have to put it out in different ways. This may be, if this ain't going to work for you, then find something that will. It's your future too.
With all this extra stress, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this depression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep the essence of power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming the riches, in a position of making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
I don't know why you think your favorite artist made your favorite song. But if you figure that out, then maybe you can use them to inspire you to feel more empowered at this time in history when we need to. Because we're just launching into World War III here with this renewed round of attacks on the Middle East. Under UN jurisdiction, serious splits in the global community. And we got to figure out what's going on here. Why are children in Africa starving? Why are children in Britain starving? Why are children in Canada starving? Why is this article from Infowars.com saying that U.S. health authorities urge Americans not to take potassium iodide to protect them against radiation? Says here from Paul Joseph Watson, despite the fact that Fukushima nuclear reactor is still spewing black radioactive smoke, as the crisis shows little sign of abating and Japanese authorities refuse to give accurate radiation readings, U.S. health authorities have gone from ambivalently telling Americans not to worry about the situation to actively discouraging them from obtaining potassium iodide at all. Why did our governments here in Ontario put up a bunch of billboards at taxpayers' expense, encouraging Canadians to sneeze on their sleeves to protect them from a supposedly dangerous and possibly even deadly H1N1 or swine flu? Sneeze on your sleeve? Is there a way to expose this nonsense so people can laugh at it, so people can appreciate how much power they get by taking control over the lies that cause them so much fear?
There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Kingmakers, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Dirtsters will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised.
And that's right, it's happening worldwide right now, the protests in the Middle East. The bottom line is that the New World Order, the central banking establishment with their armies of think tanks and secret societies and foundations and governments they control, are going to foment revolution. They're teaching us how to revolt. They're telling us, go on Twitter and revolt. And when you see what you can discuss on Twitter, how quickly we just basically echo the mass media and our own little creative bastardized cliches and 140 character haikus, then you can see what can happen if we don't manage to locally get together and have some intelligent conversations about what to petition our government for in this new world order. It says here from CBC News, we have some election news coming up. Opposition lines up against government. With the government unwilling to amend the budget, all three opposition leaders said they are prepared to defeat Prime Minister Stephen Harper's minority government on a motion of non-confidence Friday. Remember what happened the last two times the opposition parties tried to do this on behalf of Canadians? Harper made a call to the Queen, and she, you know, was cool with the Governor General pro-rotting Parliament twice. And what's going to happen now? Who the hell knows? Let's take a look. Liberal leader Michael Ignatius said Wednesday his party was giving it notice they would introduce a motion. NDP Jack Layton and Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe both said they would support it. Ignatius said Harper has shown, quote, a flagrant disregard, unquote, for democracy and failed on its economic agenda, and the result, quote, the moment has come, unquote, for Canadians to make a choice between the Liberals and Conservatives. Now, you got Mr. Ignatius saying Harper's showing a flagrant disregard for democracy. But if he's not going to talk much about what that flagrant disregard is, about winning the 2008 Canadian Association of Journalists Code of Silence Award for being the least accessible public figure and our Prime Minister to boot, and for tightening restrictions on access to information about the government here in Canada, among other transgressions, muzzling his cabinet ministers who were no longer allowed to speak about their portfolios, like fisheries about fisheries and Indian should be Native Affairs about Indian should be Native Affairs. How come Ignatius doesn't bring this up? How about the fighters out there that we're buying? How about the prisons? They're overbuilding prisons here in Canada. And when they're overbuilding them, it means they plan on putting more people in them. They expect crime to go up, and they expect a bunch more of us to go to jail. And the new Cam H on Queen Street? That's sprouting up like a giant mushroom meant to scramble our senses, integrate with the community on Queen Street West. You know, the communists were behind psychology and psychiatry years ago, a lot of that. They were behind a lot of the modern advancements in it. And one of the things they liked about it is that if they declared somebody crazy, then they didn't have to use a jury to convict them. They could just say, nah, they're crazy. We have this panel of people we pay, we hired, and we pay to call people crazy. And so they call people crazy. And you have that going on. And so the growth of a giant new mental health facility here in this city of Toronto on Queen Street West, West Queen Street West to be exact, that says it's integrating with the community to make it extra normal, is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. And so what do we do about all this? What we do, look, we got to figure out how to communicate with other people. And in our cultures, where we tend to want to stick to certain topics that we see as safe, and yet you read the newspapers and you watch the media And every time a celebrity or an athlete says something political, he's ripped apart for it. That's a game. It's a game. It's a game played by the media. And if you happen to be a public figure, you could get caught in that game. But your best, you know, case scenario as a public figure or as somebody who's just trying to get the truth out to help people make better choices to safeguard your future and theirs, well, what you could do, you know, is you could be like, look, it's real simple. They basically split us in half, the left and the right, and people shade towards one or the other so that they could always make sure a bunch of people attack anybody who says something about either side. And so, you know, it's important for people to understand that if either side accidentally, or a member of either side, or someone who's allied with either side, accidentally tells the truth, or does it on purpose for that matter, or speaks on an important issue, then the other side can just attack them for being them, without actually talking about the issue at all, and most people will follow them. How many fans of The Daily Show, you know, don't like 9/11 truth? How many fans know about how this producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, allied with the Colbert Report, roughed up members of We Are Change, asking them questions about 9/11 truth? How many people know about We Are Change and the brilliant work of Luke Radowski and his crew and 200 chapters worldwide? Well, if not enough do, then it's about time they do. Because at the end of the day,
there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do.
Now, if you got somebody who's a senior, maybe share the work of David Ray Griffin on 9/11. He's you know, 60, 70 years old. He's a theological scholar, author of 30-something books. And maybe he's a guy that can appeal to a senior. If you're young and hip and goofy.
See, I'm influenced by the ghetto you ruined. The same dude you gave nothing. I made something doing what I do through and through. And I give you the news with a twist of just his ghetto point of view.
Maybe you switched to some Charlie Sheen. I remember a couple years ago in 2009, when I was with my colleagues at Toronto Truth Seekers, who will be on the streets this Saturday, helping producer, editor, director, filmmaker, and journalist, and independent media magnate Dan Dix, and his colleagues Brian Law and Steve Davies, producers and creators and directors of Into the Fire, a new documentary about G20 martial law that happened in June of 2010 here in Toronto, Canada, representatives of similar situations going on around the world. Members of Toronto Truth Seekers will be helping them flyer and poster to promote the screening of Into the Fire, the world premiere at the Bloor Cinema on April 22nd, 2011 at the corner of Bathurst and Bloor. You can go to pressfortruth.ca to learn more details, or conspiracyculture.com for the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store on Queen Street to buy tickets, and of course check out more of what Conspiracy Culture has to offer. There's a new documentary on them coming out as well fairly soon. But that's on Toronto Truth Seekers, still active, still alive and kicking and doing their thing like everybody else should in their own ways. But I remember being there a couple of years ago, and I put pictures of Heidi and Spencer, or Heidi from Heidi and Spencer, or Heidi and Spencer, might have been both of them, on a flyer I made, and I had it at the table, and we had a little table at Dundas Square at the southwest corner there, myself and my colleagues at TTS, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, and people took those flyers, and a lot of them were teenage girls who were familiar with the Heidi and Spencer show there, The Hills, on MTV or whatever, And they took the flyers because they recognized Heidi and Spencer on there, and I put them on the flyers because Heidi and Spencer, the actors, Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt, they appeared on the Alex Jones show to talk about how they were big fans of Alex Jones after recently discovering him, how they thought young people should get into it, how they thought that a lot of the MTV stuff was some sort of form of, you know, dumb them down, keep them happy, and keep them silly, mind control. And Heidi said, I wouldn't take a brain chip, or I wouldn't take a chip. And so I put that as a little quote on the top of the flyer. And so there's a million ways you can figure out how to appeal to people if you can figure out people. And it all depends. If there's just a few of us doing it, then it might be like three people in a big theater who know the theater's on fire. Then all those three people got to yell as loud as possible in as crazy a way as possible to get everyone's attention. But if it's a theater of 300 people and say 30, you know, and say it loud enough, then the other 300 will certainly obviously be like, oh, okay, I kind of get you, I kind of hear you, and we can make an orderly path towards the exits. And it's the exact same thing when it comes to this New World Order stuff. We can make a nice, orderly path towards the exits of it. We don't have to deal with this. We don't have to stick around and get whacked by this New World Order dealing. It's just not necessary. We've got the InfoWar, and after that, we've got political solutions that we can all think of. And all you have to do is apply your energies to this in the same way you'd apply them towards anything else, and take the information that you get from forums like this and utilize it in a valuable fashion. Otherwise, maybe even you'll think it's a waste of time. And that wouldn't be the right thing to do. Quick look at the Metro here. No joke. Brand learns meaning of till death. Comedian Russell Brand on the cover. Bonding with Skip. Blue Jays players already impressed by Farrell. There you go. Actress Elizabeth Taylor, seeing here at her Radiant Fest in the 60s, died yesterday. She's on the cover. Sad to hear that, but it is the cover story to get a little emotional response, but not really to inform us of what we need to know. Opposition gets to pick PM's poison. Commons MPs will have a chance to defeat Harper on non-confidence motion before voting on budget. Tories grist NDP already in campaign mode. What are we going to do with respect to this freaking election? What is the plan out there when it comes to this election? What are Canadians thinking of asking for from their MPs? What issues are ones that should take precedence? Perhaps the work of Senator Elaine McCoy. People like mainstream, people like politicians, no problem. There's tons of rare mainstream news that's reported but not repeated that we can dig up and share on border security issues, trade deals, health risks, war on terror policies, security certificates, like the one being faced by Mohammed Harkat. Go to harkatstatement.com to support Sophie and Mohammed Harkat fighting against 8 years of persecution here in Canada by corrupt elements of our own law enforcement agencies. Get hip to these things and make sure that during this little 6 week election period where the system tries to sneak one by us, the opposition makes it look like they're doing their job, and Harper makes it look like he's doing theirs, and the rest of us get confused and try and guess based on this sort of mainstream nonsense. Let's use Senator Elaine McCoy's work on Bill C-36, blogging live from the Senate, to expose the Codex Alimentarius control of the world's food supply, and control of ours, and restriction of vitamins and supplements as part of the global eugenics plan. Opposition gets to pick PM's poison indeed. CF-18's bomb ammo depot. Are we going to cheer for this war on Libya or expose how ridiculous it is that they can go to war based on UN resolutions without even a proper discussion in our own countries? Canadian jets bomb Libya, a big two-page spread on page 10 and 11 of the Metro. So you see how we're being turned into a war-like culture under Obama. All the liberals out there are supposed to be pro-war. All of a sudden the wars that Bush fought that were bad are suddenly good. Let's wake up from this trance and let's get hit to these issues. Before I leave you into the capable hands of Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, who's going to spin you a four-hour jazz experience you will not forget because he is a jazz genius, and on a cold, crappy day here in Toronto, or wherever you are, whatever the kind of day you're having, it's always worth it to get his little pick-me-up. I mean, definitely, man, I'm tripping. I'm tripping off the power of music. So don't forget how powerful it can be when it comes to applying it to thinking about these issues as well. Before he takes you on that four-hour Jazz Bungee experience, let me share a couple of websites, if you don't mind here, where you can learn a bit more about what's going on. A couple of movies as well. Time to share the Obama deception. 8.5 million views on YouTube. So definitely put that out there. An Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement about the Bilderberg meeting here in 2006 in Ottawa, Canada, as well as the Bilderberg Group itself, the globalists behind the control of major world events. Definitely worth sharing. Also gets into the eugenics program, which explains why so many of us are supposed to get sicker and broker, a process we have to work to reverse. So the Obama deception, Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, you can cop the DVDs or you can get them free on YouTube, but do pass them on and just encourage people to watch them to get an idea of how prescient people have been for a while now when it comes to predicting the age in which we live in, where we're getting assaulted by crisis after crisis, and yet we are neurolinguistically programmed to socially police each other to talk less and less about it, because of course that would be depressing as opposed to productive. Can we switch from making it depressing and make it productive? Switch from positive ignoring to positive thinking? These are things that we have to decide. We have to get active in the InfoWar. The winners of the InfoWars, the answer to 1984 is 1776 contest at InfoWars.com. The three winning videos are there. So go to InfoWars.com to see that. People putting up posters and people making really creative productions to capture the time we're in and the appropriate political response. InfoWars.com, great place to get hip to all these issues, as well as the Alex Jones radio show itself. You can check out the Corbett Report at CorbettReport.com. Expat Canadian James Corbett living in Japan. Another excellent radio show. He's well-researched, he's well-spoken, and he's much calmer than people like myself and Alex and others. So he may appeal to different people. So do pass on his work at TheCorbettReport.com. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, Alan Watts' work as well. He's also calmer, a bit more depressing in some ways, but he's also much calmer. So he may also appeal to people out there for a philosophical overview of the times in which we live. FluorideAlert.org, Calgary just got it out, their city council got it out. In Toronto, we should get our city council get it out. In Ottawa, they should, and everywhere else they should. Go to FluorideAlert.org for more info on why and how and the efforts to do that. They're springing up everywhere. People need to support them, and people need to get active on the streets to make other people aware of them. So there is a combo issue going on here. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forums. Do get hit to the risks of vaccines, folks. If you're not sick yet, don't take any medication. And if you don't get sick from a disease, you can't prove the vaccine worked anyway. You just may not have gotten sick and you didn't take it. So the whole thing's kind of squirrely, and it gets way deeper than that. So check it out for sure. Locally, you can definitely check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com for more on the street actions, TTS holds, as well as networking with about 500 truth seekers in this city. Press4truth.ca, new film, Into the Fire, screening April 22nd at the Bloor Cinema at Bathurst and Bloor. Go to press4truth.ca for more information, or conspiracyculture.com for the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at the corner of Queen and Roncesvalles. Patrick and Cadena run a wonderful shop there, very popular with people everywhere, very chilled out, laid back atmosphere. They're great people. Help support them. Get yourself hip and get a gift for somebody else so they can get hip too. Locally as well, Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street News newspaper. Cold day, homeless guy out there could use a copy, so flip Matulni for a copy of the Toronto Street News. Support Victor Fletcher's great work for over 12 years in the city, sharing information like this and putting over $1 million in the pockets of the homeless. And on and on and on, folks. There's a million places out there. There's a million things to do, a million places to go. And I just encourage you out there to feel that you can intellectually figure out what's going on with respect to communicating this information to other people. Because Canadians have to get in the habit of doing that more often right now. We're getting our own austerity measures. We have our own health risks. We're now turning into a tool of empire in bombing Libya, participating in another war when we shouldn't be. So this is not the Canadian way. And if you're a Canadian out there, or if you're a nationalist in any other country, remember to fight for your country and for your nationalism against the threat of globalism. And then once you get it back, then we can worry about Ottawa. We can squabble internally. But right now we are facing a global threat from the old world order trying to create a new world order, and we should do what we can do at this time in history to resist it. Hopefully this works for you folks. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the clips I played today, some of the insights you heard here on this show. I am out of here. It's been your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ. My website is whatyouwanttobelievein.com. Check there for more of my work and my plans. I am out of here. Have a fantastic day. Keep warm. keep safe, look out for each other, and take care. Peace out.
She works so hard to get in them jeans. You get so hard, I ain't trying to play tricks. I'm saving the matrix. You just play tricks. These things they say. Yeah.
You can't do it, homie. It can't be done.
Yeah.
You can't make it fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it can't be won.
I'm reloaded.
If we can't do it, homie. It can't be done.
Okay.
If we can't make it fun.
I said.
Then it can't be won.
I'm reloaded.
Oh, yo, the haters be hating. So I'll be debating. If you really for freedom, then why you be hating?
Yeah.
You got the conspiracy, it ain't no mystery, just history. So stop fucking dissing me. Stop fucking missing with your aim. Look up, see who's running the game, and then shut up.
Yeah.
We gotta focus, get past the hocus pocus. On TV, the insanity's like a plague of locusts eating our brains while greasing our pumps. They say car bombs, but they never say carpet bombs.
Yeah.
How much kill are we willing to take? By now, do we know who's on the take?
Okay.
I ain't rapping for evil, I'm rapping for people to let them know the evil. Setting up a sequel. If you don't wanna be evil, expose the lies before we're all begging for jobs, serving fries.
Yeah.
Do it, homie, it can't be done.